right. Well, good morning. I want to just share how grateful I am. Last week, you guys had the privilege of hearing from Dwayne Walton, one of our elders. I called him on Friday of the like 2 days before Sunday. So I was like, hey, man, I need you. And he came in and stepped in and did a great job. So grateful for him in that. Had the opportunity just to be able to go see my daughter and my son, or our daughter and son. She's right here, so she's here with me. And then to see her sister, Aaron's sister, just going through a hard time, and our nephews, and it was really awesome just to be able to visit with them, and then to see my brother and his kids. I am an extrovert. I don't know if that's a surprise to anybody, but it was good for me to kind of be by myself on the road there, and so just grateful for you guys allowing that opportunity. It's a blessing to me. So I want to just take a moment, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for, really, there's a lot of people who are without power still. A lot of things have been disheveled as a result of Hurricane Helene and then also Hurricane Milton. And so we, as brothers and sisters, want to pray that God would provide what's needed there and also provide, really, hope and comfort to those who have lost loved ones. And just pray together with me for that. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for the fact that we can come to you with our burdens. We can intercede on behalf of other people. And Lord, we pray that you would provide what is necessary for those that have lost so much, and just ask that your Spirit would just bring about comfort and peace in the midst of those hard things. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in our life, and that we get to be here and really seek your face. And Father, if you're sending any of us to go and help and encourage, Lord, may we be faithful in doing so. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've had the privilege over the past month and a half to be able to walk through the book of Genesis and really just learn some neat things about God's intent for creation. And so it's been really fruitful, but we've also kind of looked at some stuff in Genesis where we've kind of seen some major movements, three major movements away from God's intent for creation. The first one, as we dealt with a few weeks back, was the fall, where they didn't believe that God was good enough and his word was good enough for them, and so they fell, and they've been cast out from the garden. And then we saw that man was exceedingly sinful in Genesis chapter 6, and then as a result, God brought the flood. And then last week, Dwayne did a great job of just teaching on the Tower of Babel and their just desire to be known above God. And so God cursed them with confusion. Now, what's awesome about that story is now they've got all these separate languages, and now they're spread about all over the globe, is that there's a foreshadowing of what eternity is going to look like that happens in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see at Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit of God falls on his people, and they begin to speak in tongues. And as a result of that, they're speaking in languages that are understood by everyone as if they have one language, even though it's not their native language. They're understood as if there was one language, which is a powerful foreshadowing of eternity, which we'll get to in a few moments. With that in mind, I want to take us, as Joshua read for us a few moments ago, in Genesis chapter 12. Look at this with me. I just want us to see this gift here. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says this: "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Now, I want you to see that this moment is kind of a hinge moment. It's really a powerful moment because we have three failures that moved away from God's intent, and now God is doing this new work, and he's bringing about this guy named Abram. Now, what's powerful about Abram as we look at this, we're introduced to him at the back end of Genesis 11, just a little bit about him. He lost his brother. His brother passes away. He's the oldest, and all of a sudden, this guy who wasn't seeking the Lord, who probably worshiped pagan gods, he's just in this one place, and God randomly calls this guy, and there was nothing attractive about him, but what was attractive is God's grace being shown to him. God called him out, which is powerful to think about. So he calls him out. He says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you." Now look at this. He's leaving everything behind for this call of a God that he did not know before. Verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that, here's the purpose, so that you will be a blessing. I'm going to do this work in you so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the call was, Abram, leave everything. Leave everything. And trust me completely. Leave everything that's familiar. Leave everything that's predictable. Leave everything that's comfortable. Leave your inheritance behind. Leave the fact that you would be carrying on your father's name. Leave it all behind. And he says, and I will make you, first promise, a great nation. Now, bear in mind, he's older. His wife is barren, right? He has no offspring. And all of a sudden, some way, somehow, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. The second promise is, I will bless and make your name great. Promise number two, I will bless you and make your name great. And then promise number three is, you will be a blessing. Now, a few things, we're using these terms as if we understand them. And so I want to make sure that we're on the same page with vocabulary. The word bless is a picture in the Hebrew of deep fulfillment, meaning the way that you get this deep fulfillment is it's found in nearness to God, found in the favor of God being shown on you and God's face shining on you. It's this deep fulfillment that comes from resting in whose you are and whose you are. Now, the opposite of that, which we see here, that anyone who dishonors Abram, he says he will curse him. And so that's the opposite. The antithesis of blessing is cursing. And so for cursing here, it's a lack of fulfillment. It's to be cut off from God. It means to be under his wrath and under his anger. That's the two words that we need to think through. Now, this is the first picture of the covenant with Abraham. Picture number two is found in Genesis 15. So look at this with me. Verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Now, one thing that's kind of neat, if you're a student of God's word, one of the things is when God says fear not, there's always a reason, always a purpose for not to fear. And this here, immediately he says, the reason why you shouldn't fear is because I am going to be your shield, your protector. I am with you. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, okay, what will you give me? Now, here's what's wild here. God has really been, it's been one way. He's been sharing this work to him, saying, I promise you I'm going to do this work. And then all of a sudden, Abram's like pumping the brakes for a second. He says, cool that you said all that. Awesome. I don't have any fruit or evidence in my life that you're going to do what you said. Look at this question. You've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. So that's the thing. And we see, like, I continue childless, and the heir of my household, Eleazar of Damascus, which is someone who is responsible for protecting his property. This is the only person he has as heir. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him, God brought Abram outside and said, look toward heaven. Just look up. And number the stars. And then he gives a little moment there of his magnificence as God and his smallness as Abram, if you're able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and it counted to him as righteousness. I want you to see something. He was questioning. He's like, look, God, I left everything to follow your promise. You made this promise to me. I'm doing everything in my power to follow through. You're telling me that I'm going to have this amazing gift of being blessed, and all these nations are coming from me. Awesome. Great. But I don't have a child. My wife is barren. I am old. How are you going to do this work? Then the picture three that we have in Genesis 17 of this covenant. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. He introduces himself again. But this particular one is a powerful one. Any of you old enough to know who Amy Grant is? Any Amy Grant fans? Oh, you admit it. Okay. One of her famous songs was El Shaddai. This is how God introduces himself in this moment, in this covenant. I am, like you've been doubting how I'm going to do this work that I promised that I was going to do to you, that you've been like questioning, like, how is this going to happen? You need to understand, I am the God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I'm going to do this work in you. And look at how he describes it. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. That phrase there, you've heard it twice before, because the call of Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. The call of Noah was to be fruitful and multiply. And here is this call, this hinge moment in history going forward, that this would happen through this promise that God made to Abram. And watch this, verse 3. In light of the God Almighty, then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Notice the tense. I've done this work in you, and I've declared that you will be the father of nations before you have ever had a son from your wife, Sarah. It was true of him before it was true in his reality. His faith just trusted the Lord. Now, one of the neat things I've been able to do over the past couple of weeks with my older four kids is we've been sharing this group text over a devotional that we're reading. And this past week, one of the themes of it was the already and not yet. What's already true and real about us in Christ, but what's not yet revealed in our eternity. What's already true about us is that we're already declared righteous because of the work of Christ on our behalf. What's true about us already is that we have hope that extends past any circumstance we face. What's true about us already is that we can have joy in any and all circumstances. That's already true, and we live in that already, but not yet. In this moment, Abraham is living in the already that he's the father of many nations before he saw any evidence of the fact. He says, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God is doing this uncommon work. God is being faithful to his word, his promise to Abraham, and he's doing this work. And here's the thing I hope that you understand. If this promise that he gave back in Genesis 12, 15, and 17 is true, and we're going to prove it out that it is, what difference is that to you and me? Like, if he's faithful that this promise that was given multiple centuries ago is fulfilled, then what difference does it make for you and I in this moment in 2024? Should it make a difference? Well, I want to remind us of a couple of words, making sure we're using the same vocabulary still. To bless means deep fulfillment. It means, it's found in this fact of nearness to God, God's favor being shown to you, God's face shining on you. Now, here's what blessing does not mean. Blessing does not mean that your life will be filled with green lights and blue skies and all the money you ever wanted, all the health you ever wanted, and all the friendships you ever wanted. That's not what this means. This means ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment found in who you are because of God. Your identity, your worth, your value is already in Him. So no amount of health and prosperity is going to give you what you already have in God. And you need to see that distinction. So if you're having the worst day ever, you're no less blessed than you were on your best day ever. I want you to know this. So you as a follower of Jesus can have hard and difficult moments and still be blessed of God because what's already true about you. Are we clear? I think some of us need to hear that. You are no less loved when things are not great than you are when things are great. And again, the other word that I want us to hear is curse, which is a lack of fulfillment. It means to be cut off from God. It means to be under His wrath and His anger. Well, how do we get that? And how does it make a difference for us here and now? Well, if you would look with me at Paul's letter to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3. It says this in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Now, I want you to, again, use the vocabulary that we're using here to understand what has taken place so that you can experience this faithfulness of God that He promised Abraham, and us, right? Watch this. Christ redeemed us from the lack of fulfillment, right? Of being cut off from God, experiencing His wrath and anger. He redeemed us from that. How did He do it? Well, because Christ Jesus became one who experienced the lack of fulfillment. Christ Jesus was cut off from God the Father. Christ Jesus experienced the wrath and anger from God. One of the pictures that you've seen, that maybe you've never understood this statement from Jesus that proves this, is when Jesus was on the cross, He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you cut me off? Why am I experiencing your wrath and your anger? Like, why am I not being blessed here? You ever wondered that? Well, it's not that Christ didn't know, He knew. But there's this picture for you and I in that that you need to understand. Christ redeemed us from the lack of fulfillment, being cut off, experiencing the wrath and anger that is right for God to give us because Christ took that for us. And here from Deuteronomy 21 is where Paul quotes from. He says, cursed, cut off, is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And here's the purpose. Remember that phrase we talked earlier in Genesis. So that, here's the reason, in Christ Jesus, the blessing, the deep fulfillment of being found in God, being drawn near to Him, having His face shine upon you, the deep fulfillment that God gave Abraham might come to the Gentiles, those of us, so that we might receive the promised Spirit of God, the promise that He made to Abraham, we might receive it through faith. And then notice this. He says, to give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it's been ratified. So notice this point. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring, meaning the people that were part of the covenant. Those persons that were part of this covenant that was made are going to be the ones to make sure it is carried out. Okay? So Abraham, God is in this covenant. And notice here, He says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring. Who is it? Who's going to carry out this promise that God made to Abraham? Who's going to make sure that the word that God promised to Abraham and his offspring would happen? Christ will. Christ makes sure that the promise is fulfilled. Christ makes it possible for people like you and me, who are far from God, like Abram was, to be drawn near by taking and becoming the curse for us so that we could experience the blessing of Abraham. So just for restatement, three things that are key here. The promise to Abraham finds its yes, its fulfillment in Christ. We see in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. In Christ, point two, in Christ, we who believe are part of the offspring of Abraham. Now, when you were a kid in VBS and you would sing this song, not knowing or understanding its implication, Father Abraham had many sons. Anybody? Many sons had? Okay, I'm one of them? Okay, we're good. So this is how, because the work of Christ on our behalf drew us in, brought us near. And here's the other thing that's key, and this is where the rubber meets the road for me and you right here. The responsibility of that blessing of Abraham is our responsibility too. We've been blessed to be a blessing. Another picture so that you understand that this faithfulness that God had towards Abram, to Abraham, to us, is still in play. In the book of Revelation, this is a text that last week Dwayne shared with us. I want to just reprise it for us this morning. I want you to see something. This is in Revelation chapter 7. This is John looking upon the throne, and he says this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Harken back for a moment to Abraham looking at the stars, not being able to count how many there were. A great multitude that no one could number. From every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. All those people there, every one of them, as they would lift up their voices, every one of them is a fulfillment to the promise that God made to that guy, Abram, who left everything to follow God's voice. Every time one of us turns to Jesus and calls out on his name to be saved, we are a fulfillment of that promise to Abram back then. They're before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, because they've been made white, if you read it, by the blood of the Lamb, with palm branches. Palm branches was a national sign showing victory in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice. And I want you to see who the focus is. The focus isn't Abram. The focus is the God of Abraham. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The focus is the one on the throne, because he's the one that is faithful. He's the one that keeps his promises. The key to this promise, again, is not for Abraham's glory or fame, but a people who are committed to making God's name and glory known to the ends of the earth. It's us being arrows pointing to the glory and fame for God. So, here's what's cool. This is where you and I are on the page of this story. When you and I trust Jesus, And we, by God's grace, get to experience the blessing, which means the deep fulfillment of what it means to be found in Christ, ultimately meaning we're blessed. Despite our circumstances, what's most important about us is who God says we are. When we see ourselves there, we are blessed, and that's deep fulfillment because we are near God. We have his face and favor shining on us. When we lean into that, when we own that, we've also been given a responsibility. You've been blessed of God through Christ to be a blessing. You've been given a responsibility. This isn't about like monetary. This is about you owning who you are and being part of a transformational community of people who own who they are in Christ. And you take the fact that you've been blessed of God to be a blessing to the nations. You never know what can happen. So on Friday, I made a phone call to this guy named Don Fogle. Anybody? Don Fogle? Okay. Just want to make sure. You never know. Don Fogle was my algebra teacher in high school. Don Fogle was a bivocational pastor. Don Fogle didn't teach me squat about algebra. But Don Fogle taught me a lot about what it means to study God's word and to know it well. Don Fogle modeled faith, allowed me to be in his home, allowed me to see the way that he loved his wife and his kids. And I got to call Don Fogle on Friday and thank him for something he did more than 30 years ago that he didn't even remember. And he says to me, "You have no idea how I needed to hear that." What if you and I just made a solid commitment to own the fact that we've been blessed of God in Christ Jesus and just said, you know what? The rest of my life, I understand that I've been blessed to be a blessing. The invitation earlier from Stephen, hey, what would it look like for you to be part of a short-term mission trip to be a blessing to the nations? What would it look like for you just to be a good neighbor to the person across the fence? What would it look like for you to be forgiving and gracious to those people who continue to find some way to hurt you? What would it look like, since you're blessed of God, to be a blessing? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for this word that we needed to hear, that I needed to hear. Thank you for the fact that you so love us. Pray that your spirit would just help us begin to own and walk out this call that you gave to Abram, that in Christ you give to us. Lord, help us walk in that. Help us walk that out in everyday life. Father, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing.